But also the same thing applies on every level. It's like the same reason why Thabo Mbeki got kicked the hell out. And it's like, it's not, it's the reason is because
it's because he was looting the state. He was looting the state.
No, but you know what I'm saying, though? Where it's like, Jacob Zuma is looting the state and he's doing the most.
I was going to go
But he's singing the whole way there. He's connecting with the people.
I was going to get to that and say that you can't, that's why it can't be, that if the disconnect between, if they both got impeached, basically, then the disconnect can't be primarily with the words or how intelligent they sound.
Yes, but because here's the thing, right?
Those two.
Yeah, but okay, here's what I'm saying. Is the fact that using big words will disconnect you from primary schoolers. Yeah. And dominant, not because, hey, they're complete idiots or whatever, but it's like, it's because you're using words that they've never connected with. Mm. Yeah. So now there's a certain level of, or a certain type of education which is necessary for you to be able to understand and thrive within this mess that capitalism is, that also disconnects you from those very same people that you're supposed to be connecting into and getting the plug in so that they can be able to move forward. Sure. So it's like all the well-educated black people have a hard time fully connecting with their roots that they're supposed to be.
But that's my thing. Why are they having such a hard time? Because I feel like your connected about education is supposed to unlock, it's just sucking in knowledge and understanding more about everything else about that is in life. It doesn't mean necessarily that you shouldn't be able to explain it to somebody that has not gotten that knowledge. It's supposed to be exactly what you got it for, Uruti. You got it so you can further give it to other people. So, and a lot of the times when people get educated, they stick in the education discipline.
Yeah.
They either want to go do honors and they want to do masters. And
want to stay at school.
But they haven't practically applied how they're going to give this knowledge to other people and how they will apply it to just in their everyday lives. Just in
practice. Black House Talk.
Welcome to Black House Talk.
Yeah.
Rocking up mid-conversation.
we had to press record before we lost any of that. Welcome to Black House Talk. Deeply Rooted DBN Radio DR.
Today we have a returning guest.
We have a returning guest. Yes, our first returning guest,
first
actually.
Returning guest, yes.
All the way from the episode in Cape Town, we have DJ Mr. Wobbly.
he's a return, Baba.
And we have Lobuntu Atekuluma Kakhulu no Prof la uTbag.
Yeah, we have uTbag. uTbag is like a intellectual para. Producer
Muntu.
Slash. No. Can I give my perspective of you? Okay. Goddamn, nigga, chill. He's like basically what I imagine is like that underground legend where people will be able to finally know who he is after a lot of his work echoes through a lot of
echoes.
Talent that's been pushed
it
ahead.
Delay.
No, but it's true. It's like you're gonna have a lot of artists will be pushed forward, and then only afterwards, when people are like doing the backstory, after some time, they'll be like, Lentanga keeps coming up everywhere.
He's gonna have like a glorious achievement. I'll be directing your achievement concert, homie.
My first award will be a lifetime achievement.
Yeah.
What's but up, yeah, guys? Like, this is T-Bag.
Yo, what it do though?
What it do?
Actually, dripped up, you know, ain't giving about nothing.
Yeah, guys, what the fuck are you guys doing in Durban besides talking shit on Twitter and Wobbly drinking Jägermeister?
So what do you mean? What do you mean, dog? Like, we're moving.
We're moving. Yeah, you're about to drop a song now?
Yeah, man, shaping the culture as usual.
What do you mean shaping the culture? Well, how do you shape a culture? How do you shape a culture? Yeah, speak properly. I go in the club in.
Yeah. Anyway, dropping a song on Friday. My excuse.
So you know, to everybody listening, the song is already dropped by the time you hear this podcast.
I'll put a link on the website. You can check it out.
Yeah,
you'll be there. Because we're cool. I got you, homie.
I should pop up as he's saying it when he says it on the podcast, but I don't want to tell you how to do your job.
Oh, wow. People, it's a podcast. It's audio, T-Bag. I always told you audio is too simple.
I couldn't stop it so bad. Let's just talk about Mr. Kurumanga Deshandis. Put it up there.
Yeah, there'll be the photo. It's going to be a gallery.
We'll figure it out.
T-Bag.
And notations.
T-Bag.
No, we further disconnecting from the average black man. Use the annotations on YouTube.
Annotations.
It's like a comment, and then when you say something like on a YouTube video, and then when they say link in the description, and then it pops up and says click whatever, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
I get what you're saying.
Cool. If you're speaking to somebody, back to what we were talking about, if you're speaking to somebody and you know that they don't know what annotation means.
I never click on them only because I'm like, I'm interested in this video though. It's like, sure, I'm interested in that one, but if I click on it, this stops.
But don't you want to see like the 35 most like botched up, like, you know, plastic surgery?
No, now you're giving away what you're watching on YouTube.
No, I click on random things.
So you like go into the black hole.
I click on random
things. How did I end up here?
Fuck, man. This is an ad. And then I'm like, but actually, I'd like to see what the fuck this is.
I didn't even know when's the last time I saw an ad.
Yeah, you must come to Premium. Premium Boys Worldwide. YouTube Premium. Shout out, bro. I know Wobbly watches music videos on YouTube.
That's all I do.
Oh, Wobbly does not only just watch music videos. I can't quote. Wobbly watches the weirdest shit.
Wobbly likes the worst shows.
Okay, no.
Let's give him a chance to defend himself.
There's something that he made me watch. I think I was like three episodes.
Like in. I'm watching fucking PAQ. It's a fashion thing, bro. It's crazy.
What the fuck?
Don't look
at me like that.
What do you mean? PAQ, bro.
What
it's
is
under
P?
Thing. It's Kyra, the Kyra Network. What it's is like about fashion, bro?
Oh, he's speaking like everybody knows this.
I know, that's the funny part.
Like, I'm starting to feel like you live in your own bubble, bro.
It's about drip, bro. It's like all different styles. It's crazy. I learned that shit. So, you know, I can swell up my wardrobe. You know.
We're trying to create a unique image, in a sense.
Halfway through, like, I'm like his...
I'm into
like his what?
Okay,
you know?
Cool.
Yeah, Aria, but if you want to communicate with people, or if you want to connect with the people now... You have to be some sort of fashion conscious somehow, even if it's anti-fashion conscious. Because, like, I see everything with this whole street thing. Streetwear and street style is just anti-fashion. It's an anti-fashion fashion. It's an anti-conformist conformity.
I see exactly what you're saying, though.
Yeah, I get like, what you're saying.
The thing I go against it like this, like everybody else.
It's how we went from baggy jeans to skinny jeans.
Yes, but the thing is that, for me, I'm like, that's always been the status quo, though.
But no, but before, the skinny jeans thing... Where the guys that we were going to school with, like the hardcore rockers, they were wearing their sister's jeans, their little sister's jeans.
Yeah, but that's where skinny jeans came from, baby. Yeah,
now, you see,
the people wearing their shit now would not be wearing their little sister's jeans for the sake of that drip. That's what I'm saying.
Wait, it becomes the same
as everybody else, and then people...
But it was for skating.
And then it has to be an anti-era once, yeah, that once it becomes
like
normal.
Oh, Jaden Smith. No, I was talking shy skate. I'm not ghost.
Yeah, I was shy.
So
that's
when you're buying your skirt, bro? No, I'm gonna buy a skirt and I'm gonna rock it.
I ain't gonna do that.
You're gonna call it a kilt.
I've seen this kick ass skirts, bro. They look really, really dope.
No. This goes with the feminization of men.
Nah, you see, now you're bringing that KZN mentality into this. Feminization.
That's the feminization.
At the end of each.
So, what do you call that? Basically the same effect when it happens to women then?
What do you mean?
When the woman
like
gets
that means you should believe that women shouldn't wear pants then, according to the logic that you're using right now, right?
No. They are unisex names, unisex items of clothing.
Yeah, but pants.
And
in the same way that they are named culturally, your lifetime.
They are masculine names and feminine names culturally. In the same way, there's attire. In the same way that you would not find a female in Ipesh.
If you go back 50 years,
you will not find me in Ipesh.
Okay. Nah. Do you get that? In the same way, yes, you would not find a female in Ipesh. You know what Ipesh is coming.
In the same way, he jumps to that when he speaks of that. It's just a natural cultural thing.
Hold on.
And we need to stop
explain.
Adhering to other people's cultural and conformities just because we know their language.
Not everybody from Durban. Please. Shoot.
Oh, Ipesh. Oh, yeah. He's not from Durban. Umkhaza built in Ipesh a bit. You communication.
So it connects with you. Yabo, when you go to Imtlimbi and you see the guy with his shield and the thing that he's swinging around.
Oh, yeah.
You see the thing that he's wearing. The thing that he's wearing with the things that hang out. Like
what, the skirt?
Bish.
The African skirt.
Bish.
The only skirt I'm wearing. I called. We should design one just for a festival.
That would be dope.
Muzi did that at Rocky and the Daisies.
Yeah, Muzi does do that. Yeah, he does that.
Guys, I've got so much admiration for Muzi.
I
respect Muzi because of the fact that He's not mainstream famous, and he's doing the most.
What famous is he?
He's still that. You guys only know him because you guys are musicians. You guys are artists. You guys are within the industry. When you go ask the
Pagati, prof, he's within.
I hear you, but the thing is that you guys know him because you in the music industry. The average person doesn't know him.
I buy Muslim with it right
they
now,
bro. Don't. Like, I literally went, do you know Muzi? Do you know Muzi? Do you know Muzi? Like, I didn't get a single yes except from artists. Like, nobody knows him as, like...
He's not a household name yet.
Here's the thing,
yeah, he's not a household name yet.
Yeah, he's not a household name. People who listen, who pay for Spotify and...
But is he still up and coming?
No, he's not. Here's the thing. It's complicated because of the fact that it's like... you know Vince Staples, ne?
Yeah.
Is he up and coming?
No,
but...
Vince Staples. Underground, Vince Staples.
Yeah, but he's mainstream underground then.
No. Underground.
I get mainstream.
But he's bigger than...
He's known. He's an underground artist. Like, Umotol Technique. Known by a lot of underground people, but everybody knows with Lomchita. We will never see him on MTV base.
Okay, cool. But, like, literally...
Underground.
Okay, in that sense, then, from my perspective... And I'll use the words my perspective. Muzi is an underground artist who we know will go mainstream eventually in South Africa.
Okay. The average person doesn't know. What's your dude? That almost Muzi is Umuramansa. What's that?
Muramusa.
Muramusa, yeah. Yeah. The average person won't know that dude.
Yeah.
But I can go underground. So
When you say the word underground, you're speaking about a certain type of sound versus the place that they're in.
Yeah, taste of like, music versus...
Yeah, okay, cool. So I want to separate the two. For me, the things that indie, for example, ne? Indie just means independent.
Yeah.
Cool. So I'm not necessarily attaching to the underground as you know it with, I'm all about consciousness. Just underground in the sense that a lot of people within the industry know this person.
Is indie.
But in terms of people who are normal consumers, they don't know this person.
They're just waiting for the connection. It's a point of authority.
And you guys know that it's coming. Like,
that's the
thing. But the
thing
is that you guys already feel...
Beyonce, I want a video, I give it to YouTube. To
but what I'm saying is that...
And then he's known by the masses.
You guys feel like it's already here because you know the wave that's already coming. So the wave that's coming hasn't hit the people yet.
But we've also been to a thing. Uwabule and I went to his launch, Muzi. And there was a room full of people we don't know.
People who have Spotify.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And Free Nando's.
Like, people who consume music. Like, I follow artists who have like 3,000 followers.
But there's a market for those people. Those people need to
I agree. But he's not in your face yet.
Yeah.
But we know that it's
coming. But he's got a Coldplay remix.
Yes, but nobody knows
it. Like, you can't just get a Coldplay remix.
Everybody knows
if Coldplay knows you.
South Africans, please. Let's not go internationally.
If Coldplay knows you, bro, what are we going to do?
Dude, I can call my brother right now who's obsessed with Coldplay.
Yes.
Obsessed. And I'm like, for me, I'm like, there's a lot of, I'm like, dog, I don't vibe with this, bro. It's just way too slow. It feels like church. It feels like, but.
That's cool, but that's his
album is church.
Yeah, the new album basically is church.
Coldplay too?
Coldplay
is gone, bro. Kanye took everybody.
Kanye
hit
gospel. I think about three gospel songs on that album.
Got that.
So when you dropping your gospel album, Wobby?
When is the last time you went to church, Wobby?
Bro.
Probably Easter.
What? No, not even. You should not
have. How many years?
It's years, bro. Years.
Wobbly's Tamil.
He can't even, he's trying to do the maths. He's like staring out into the distance. Like, well, it's that far.
He converted to travel.
How many years? I was in Joburg for how many years?
Like a year and a half. I think.
That's 2 years.
That's a year and a half.
And then.
He got confirmation on the 2 years.
We're seeing the owner's in Jalo. Yeah. In Zanjan. Sure. Hey, so tandem zanelelele.
Oh, well.
Wow, so what a misogynist, what a patriarchal misogynist.
I think something, no.
Oita no tandem zanelelele.
Teabag.
Like this
teabag.
To do what they want.
Teabag.
If they feel like they want to listen at that time, it's okay. If they don't, it's okay too.
Straight on for teabag.
Yeah, probably sorry you're saying.
Probably 5+ years.
Yeah. That's not bad. It's not a decade.
5 years. So that's half a decade.
It's not a it decade is. Though.
But it's
half a decade. If you don't count, if you don't count every day, every Sunday, at one no, stage in his life, he went there every Sunday.
If you don't count the times where you know you go to funerals, you still go to church, you still go
no,
to.
That's
like
just the building. It's not the institution.
Oh, wow.
And nowadays it's just a Christian center.
Ha ha ha.
Anyway, moving on. Do you consider your music indie, guys?
No.
Mainstream. You make mainstream music.
We make a lot of music. Some of it's indie. Some of it's mainstream.
Okay. Cool.
So.
You're dropping hits.
If it's indie, it's gonna be an indie smash.
But it's gonna be a smash. So
yeah, basically the goal with the music is mainstream.
Ah, commercial.
Not mainstream.
Not mainstream, not in commercial. Music
I feel
that
like
can
language is semantics.
Music
man.
that can be consumed. Music that will be consumed. That can be packaged as a commodity of some sort.
Okay, cool.
Well, no matter what it is. Because at some stage, like right now in Joba Corner, the whole Ami Faru, Amanda Black, Zandi Kumalo, that
guys, who's this girl?
Who's
like
Kumalo,
you guys, always like I'm always
Ami
hearing.
Ami Faku. Whatever talking about, Ami Faku. And Ami Faku's
got
a song.
You missed the
wave.
Ami Faku's got a song produced by Ulast on her album.
And that's great.
And I think she's the one.
Who is she? What's the album? That's so gravy, my G. But for me, you know me, dog. If it doesn't come my way, I don't have.
You know, anything out.
Yeah?
Well, yeah,
he's about to tell you a problem, yeah, bro.
He can have me.
In Tinga, we.
You guys are playing games. Think I know that shit? Yeah.
DJ Wobbly doesn't know Ami Faku.
Bro.
Junk.
Bro, T-Bay, I was stage managing.
Yeah.
Nah.
At the Beach Fest, eh?
Yeah, I was stage managing, dog. And then, man, boys, cars. I'm like, yo, I'm against time here. Because some brew. Mr. Bandrini decided to take his own sweet time on
long
stage.
Time.
Shut up, Ziggs.
So he was like, screw the 40 minutes you gave me.
Screw
I'm
the
going
time.
Overtime.
Bro, every artist
screw
had like
the
15,
process.
Bro.
15. What gig is
it
this?
Took Beach Fest.
Yo, what? Yo.
It took.
Yo.
It took
bring your hits.
15 minutes for him.
I know, bro. No.
Montage.
Me, I've already got a problem with 40 minute sets from big bands. So I'm like, now 15 minutes.
It's not a one man show. Touch 15 minutes.
For no shy melody, we have
15 minutes. Check your go vibe. That's it.
This is the thing with you commercial artists, man.
Yeah.
Nah. Out here doing 3 minute songs, so you can only do 15 minutes.
Nah, Ninja. I got fun in it.
Like, if the system says, sure. 15 minutes, that's all we get.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's bands like The Brother Moves On, where it's like 15 minutes is like literally one song.
Then get to stages. With your demand is that 50 minutes to an hour. Lana, see, kakasi, una 15 minutes. Munga tandi, buisimaliyetu.
No argument.
I've got this set that I want to show the people, Doug.
Fine. Yes, cool. This will be a snippet of that.
You can catch my one-man show. So how do you guys feel about these shows popping up? It's funny. I like the fact that Ostjava, Casper, a.k.a. now, they've all got a series of their own shows. I think it's like 15 years, 20 years, 30 years late. But now we're finally touring. How do you guys feel about that?
I think it's dope.
And like, how does it work?
It's cool, but are they making money, like serious money? Like
Not right now. No.
But it has to start for the big brands to want to jump in, doesn't it?
But historically, whenever to touring, chows, dough. Like, historically, there was a documentary I was watching about, which singer is it, bruh? One of these old soul singers, ever. How she wanted to keep the show, her concert, like...
What, intimate?
Pure, I know, like... And the bands that she wanted just cost so much.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And then she got sick. Oh, man. Toni Braxton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Toni Braxton. Not, is it? Yes, Toni Braxton. Yes, Toni Braxton. It's about Toni Braxton.
Sure.
She got the same thing that took Jay Dilla, lupus. She got lupus and she'd get sick. She got sick during a show and everybody sued and she had to pay everybody. And she was in debt. She went bankrupt almost twice in her career because she was so true to the band and the touring experience.
Yeah.
And that thing is expensive. You're carrying people. You're carrying like 15 people.
Yeah.
Per act.
That's wild.
Bro. And when you think about like
and salaries, Toni Braxton,
dog, you like as South Africans, Toni Braxton to us is a goddess, bro.
Say Lord.
I can't picture Toni Braxton being bankrupt.
Yeah,
facts,
bro.
Nah, she must just do a tour in Africa. She'll be fine, bro. She'll make all her money back.
Yeah. I think that's why they do this now.
Yeah, people coming down.
Taxman on their ass.
Yeah, it's rough.
I heard a Gucci song. Says that. He's feeling happy because he paid his taxes.
Everyone's complaining about taxes.
That's not serious taxes. Yeah, shout out to Gucci
touring
Mane.
Is not profitable.
Gucci Mane over Tupac.
Touring is not profitable.
Touring is not profitable. Touring is, unless there's merchandising involved, then you can make back money. But it's all about making back money with touring. Even with events.
So what, like getting sponsors on board, yeah. Coca-Cola branding on getting the front of the stage.
Yeah.
Like at Justin Bieber, $90 million in hot dog and alcohol sales were stolen.
It's $90 million.
$90 million. It's third party thing.
The music. Yeah. Music is no longer a. Music is no longer.
Yeah, like it's not basically a what it's not music is just pulling the people, aspect. And then everything else is where the profit comes from.
But that's just like TV. Like okay, fine. Spend $200 million on the show, but we are gonna get it back with advertising.
Yeah, this
music
is true.
Music is the phone, bruh, and then the money is in the power banks, in the cables, and the connectors, and the adapters. In the third-party apps, it's not in the phone anymore. It's around the shit. It's what that shit can get you. That's why everybody that you know now. That,
so with that being said, how do you become a profitable musician in 2020?
Hey, he knows that. It's just how do you package yourself.
A musician, Wobbly.
He just said it. Just how you package yourself, and then also it's like do your own thing. That's all you gotta do, Prof. It's right in front of me.
You keep moving away from it.
No, but it's like right okay, in front cool, of me. Go. He's got the hits, so I'm sure he's hearing me.
Sure.
But like right now, it's about doing things your own way, bro. If you wanna push your stuff, it's just don't wait for other people, you know. But then don't lean the band to first.
How are you doing it? How are you staying as Wobbly? You like got a huge ass following. What last time I checked, you had 10,000 followers. How many you got now?
What? No. Where?
Where? On Instagram?
On Instagram, I'm on 26.7.
Yeah, so like how do you engage 26,000
right now, me, it's
followers.
Just pictures, bro. Like I'm not even posting anything from the DJ booth these days. It's just me as a whole. That's what I'm selling. I'm selling me as the brand.
Sure.
Aside from the DJ side of things. It's like you have to scroll down to actually see DJ.
So besides DJing, then what else do you do?
Then it's the music.
You actually make music?
Yes. That's the
outside. Oh, DJing Ped runs music as well.
Hi, boy, Ped. This guy.
Just so okay, I
me,
know
I'm
that.
Still stuck on my question. Man.
What's your you question? Mean?
How do you become a successful artist in 2020?
Instagram. You need goddamn.
So what? Build up your following.
Well, you have to because that's the only way you can also get like sponsorships and shit. That's the only way, bro.
No, but sponsorships are attached to numbers, man.
Bro. They don't really care. It's the following, bro. That's why even now, when it comes to bookings, like promoters look for followers first before the talent.
Which is bullshit.
Facts.
Well, I was just
so what, if you don't have a decent amount of Instagram followers, Facebook followers, etc.?
Then you have to know the right people.
Yeah.
Or collect people. If for me, Prof, it's always been the same thing. It's since I've met these two, it's always been the same thing for me. Is that if you don't like how it's going, do it your own way, bro. And you'll find out how difficult that is. You'll find out how easy it is to jump onto something that's already there.
No, to jump onto your formula.
Then to develop something that's new. Because now you need to go and pick people and collect people that, although there's everything else that's available to them from the machine, decide, no, that's cool, but we want this person.
Yeah,
and when they're in those spaces with all the people like that are of the mainstream, your name needs to be mentioned by other people.
Yeah,
and if it's not being mentioned by other people outside of the artists outside of artists in general, because rappers and artists in South Africa have this thing of just wanting to be known by others artists.
Yeah. Yeah. And not the people.
They're not the people.
That's
they
facts.
Run away from the people.
That's what I was saying.
That's facts.
Okay, cool. I'll hold back. But yeah,
so if you want, like, if you to say what to go back to what Wobbly was saying, if you want to be successful,
yeah,
get people. That is it. Us Java just is the perfect example of that right now.
Yeah,
he just got his own people.
He mixed a bunch of demographics with Java by staying true.
Yeah.
Can't they find out a no Kuzani, bro?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah, same thing. Right.
Those guys get to stadiums in helicopters, bruh.
Helicopters, nice. And that's what Moose is doing. He's getting people.
Yeah. But I feel like the people he's getting are not South African.
Yash.
Like, he's doing the most.
Yash, I mean, the market is the market is the market. And the market demands what the market demands.
Yeah.
Mentally, I'm trying to fit in. If you don't want to deal with the market, build your own.
And like I have
that's when there's two good estates for nothing.
Nah, perfect example.
Yeah, wanna...
Perfect example, bro. That guy's doing it.
Yeah, he just did it his own way, like, from the gates. Like, entered and carved his own lane. And then who's started Unasty C.
Oh, and Nasty, yeah.
And got in a car and drove.
What happened to the thing about them wanting to take his name?
What do you mean take his name?
They don't have lawyers, bro.
Yeah,
you can't go against Universal lawyers.
You
can't go against
what, they're saying they own the name Nasty C?
The guys that used to manage him at the beginning.
So they're pulling an Arthur on Nasty?
Yeah, the Screed label, yeah. Yeah,
I was saying this. Like on some drugs.
Doug, like, how are you gonna go against serious lawyers? Like,
so wait, okay, cool. Somebody explain to me the situation.
Basically, there's Outie Records, and then there's Free World Management.
Yeah.
So everything how it began is that Nasty C was an Outie Records recording artist, but being managed by Free World Music, which he partly owns, but with other people. So. Obviously, he signed to the Free World Management, and he signed to Arty Records.
Yeah.
And those contracts are those slave contracts where the people that you've signed to own your everything down to your name.
Yeah.
Well, that's an old school contract. That's like with common D60, sense. Remember when Common was Common Sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, when he left the label, he had to change his name.
Name to Common. Like,
and it goes back even from the funk era. There was this, the Funkadelics, and there was Parliament.
Yeah.
There were same people in the bands. But because the Funkadelics was signed to that record label,
it was a crutch. So you gotta sign to somebody else.
So now they're trying to pull that, but that shit doesn't fly anymore. Like, they're trying to say that we own that name because you were signed to us like that.
Yeah.
But now, what do they call it? Number legal terms, manje. Because even
Ambitious tried that with MT.
Yeah, same thing with Ambitious and MT. That, Fifi Cooper, same thing.
Oof.
Slave contract.
Don't you Lira had to change your name now?
Really? Did she? For more? For what?
Because she was signed to Arthur. She changed her name completely, but it worked out for her. Like, she became a way bigger artist afterwards. Like,
yeah.
Mifokati.
That
is sketchy. That is sketchy.
That
is sketchy.
Yes, it's down to the last one. The latest one is CC.
Oh, I checked that, bro. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
No, but the thing,
that is dodge, bro.
Here's the thing, that it's hard to judge your artist based on. It's like you have nothing, your artist. You've been struggling maybe for like 3 years. You've been struggling longer. And no, it's easy. Like, okay, cool. When are you able to? You are educated, nigga.
Or choose. Ketang, ufuna local for 5 years and then change your name later and then live your life. Or ufuna kubera. Because for me, even relevant, even this name thing, like, okay, sure. You just change how you spell your name and then it's a done thing. And right now, because of how it's happening,
some stogie tea,
it'll be more damage to them because it feels like they're attacking the STC. They're the villains.
So it's bad PR for them.
Bad PR for them.
But it's always a desperate move. That's always.
It was a cry for money.
Yeah, it's a cry. Yeah, it's an easy cry
to
for
quote.
Money.
To quote the Nasty C, niggas act funny when they're desperate.
Amen. The whole time. Bad design. So.
Okay. Well.
Everything's in motion now.
This is why Wobbly's got the handheld mic. Because we said this. We've done a podcast with you before.
Did you guys see the new Migos video?
Wobbly showed me. Whoa.
I have not seen it.
Please show it. Like, they took the Matrix.
Please see the new Migos video.
No, stop telling me. Let me be surprised.
I'm telling you.
Like, no, I don't even watch. You know me. I don't even watch trailers.
Forget. Okay, not forget it, but it's fire. But also the box. Oh my word!
So I what? So Migos right. dropped oh, and then the Drake
took it to the top. I
you
know, lie.
Because this whole Black House talk is like that super. I almost said pseudo intellectual, but no, it's legit intellectual shit. Like the difference between the Roddy Ricch,
yeah,
and the Migos,
yeah,
is very little. But one is signed to what can be called an independent label, and the other is just signed to like the machine, you know, the greatest machine.
But the machine's always gonna go and look at what the indie label has and duplicate that with the machine. Remember Power?
Yeah.
Remember Empire?
You're talking about the series.
Empire.
Exactly, because it was the white people trying to replicate black lives. Yeah, well, it was never gonna work. They had the niggas.
I was so hacked
and
in people's taste.
It was disappointing to watch.
When in terms of, like, I was so hacked in terms of people's taste. When Empire is the best show ever, I'm like,
no, I watched both.
Please don't say it's the best show ever. Please, please, Wobbly, I'm asking you.
I've watched both.
Please.
As I was saying, I've watched both. Empire past the first season is not my vibe. Like after the first, like they couldn't, they just couldn't do it.
It's not the vibes.
Nah, it's not the vibes.
Hey, question: do you remember that old movie Hustle and Flow?
Yes.
When I see that guy, why do I want to say Lucius?
Because his name's stuck in your head.
Yeah. That ever when I see him, I think of the Hustle and Flow guy, and then
it's quite.
It was just
this
like,
is like the darkest Migos video I've ever seen.
It wasn't the same when I saw him. Yeah, that video is look at that.
No, it's dope. Yeah, it's fire.
So even with these guys, like because fuck people and the way that they like things before they actually experience them. A lot of people have noticed with these guys, the lyrics have moved a lot away from trap and trapping and like. How they would sell their outdated things to how they're investing their money.
Yeah.
That's facts.
And people are overlooking that. And this is like, they're even showing you the racks, like the change in the videos, the change in their
the
way they move.
Young, Genji. It's
level. And a lot of these, keep it real, artists should be learning a lot more from that aspect of.
Yes.
And these up and coming artists, even these artists that are getting signed to these deals that we're talking about and getting fucked up, though your favorite rappers, the guys that you're jumping up and down to, are telling you how to fuck with money.
Yeah.
But you're not listening to that shit.
No, but it sounds cool. Like, have you heard the new Jay-Z album? Like, the last Jay-Z album is just telling black people how to get rich.
Oh, the blueprint. Yeah. That was the blueprint. And you, of all the people that ranted about it, who went out there and went to an auction for an art gallery?
Yeah, nobody.
Oh, you're talking about the 4, what album?
444, yeah.
The code.
Yeah, in my sheet.
See, look, you need to check out the box.
Yeah, the box. The Rich One.
Do I have to watch it now? Or can I do it later?
Even that guy's lyrics, like, dude.
The box. Okay, wait. Who's the box?
Is it Roddy Ricch?
You see?
Don't.
And then you guys want me to know I'm a Faku. You guys are not serious. Actually, you're not serious.
I also haven't heard the box. I know that there's a song called the box.
You know the box.
Nobody's
explained. You'll be like, oh, it's this song.
Please.
That song.
What's the box?
It's the song that beat Selena Gomez, and it had her on a video on Instagram basically asking herself, am I being desperate? Because they went out with her friends to go buy her album from all the chain stores around so that she could chart on the Billboard. Oh, where Roddy Ricch was number one.
We don't give
no, but these strategies are not new, though. They've been happening, though.
Yeah, but now it's exposed. People are exposing it. It can't be hidden anymore because you have people that have organic people getting people behind them before the machine gets behind them. And then by the time the machine gets there, it's on a magnified level.
Same thing as Travis Scott.
Ooh, yeah.
The same thing what?
Same thing as Travis Scott.
Oh, yeah. No, Travis Scott was super organic.
It was like they blatantly had to rob him with the AstroWorld. Remember when he was nominated? They blatantly had to cheat him out of an award.
Because his come up was insane. They were like, nah.
Come up was super organic, actually.
It was very organic. Because like, there's still videos that exist out there that probably have like a low-ass number of views from Travis Scott himself. Where
he was one of the first people that came out and revolutionized the whole music video shit. Like,
Awaitlepula Futhi.
with the new age,
just look, it was just like anti, it was anti, it was anti everything. Mise en scène.
Dog.
But music has got so many anomalies. Like you have like even Childish Gambino. I was like, okay, I've loved him from the jump.
Yeah.
But I'm weird.
But you don't know the box and you know Childish Gambino.
No, there's a difference. Who is the box? What kind of music does it make?
Box is a song.
It's a song. It's a song.
What kind of song is it? What genre?
Yeah, Roddy Ricch.
It's hip-hop.
Tell me you know Roddy Ricch.
Now we have a whole segment.
That's all we can play.
Legally. Okay, cool.
We can play.
Okay, it sounds like fun.
Pull up the whole damn seal. I'm going to get lazy.
Come on,
dog. It's like nearly like 200,000 US.
Yeah.
That's what I can tell. We'll watch it tomorrow.
Remember there was a time when Kanye spent a million on a music video?
And then he went on stage with Justice One.
Yeah.
And he's like, yo, I had Pam Anderson. That was the first time he did that.
Yeah.
But it was the European Awards. And then he did it for Beyonce. I had Pam Anderson flying over the Grand Canyon and shit. Yeah. I don't know you guys, but I should have won.
Guy's always been a rebel.
We watched that like, with
I,
you,
I,
yeah,
even watched. I even watched. Thing. I watched. The
I
Taylor
like
Swift
Kanye guys.
Ducky.
Like
that? You watch the Taylor Swift Ducky.
Why did you watch the Taylor Swift Ducky?
Wobbly watches.
When you got halfway through it, why did you finish the Taylor Swift?
No, because I was chilling with Wobbly. I was just watching this thing.
There's a lot of judgment coming your way.
Yo, I ain't judging Wobbly.
Okay, cool. Wait. Let's get to the point of him mentioning the Taylor Swift Ducky.
Like, bruh, oh yeah, La Pana, when he did that, hey, that thing broke her, bruh. Like, that brew is actually hectic. Oh yeah, is a hectic brew. Then he comes there and he does gospel for us.
Okay, wait.
No, listen,
if you can let R. Kelly get away with his shandies, please leave Kanye alone. Like, he's got
Kanye gospel. No,
got problem.
No, R. Kelly.
No, but that's how Kelly with that dude. R. Kelly goes, pulls all the shandies, and I can't even still. I still refuse to listen to R. Kelly right now.
Yes.
And then he drops a gospel album or some You Save Me ish, and then we are like, okay, so Kolela, okay.
But people steal from R. Kelly. Kanye West steals from artists.
Okay, cool.
Kanye West stole Cuddy.
Yeah, but like you have to understand.
Kanye West tried to steal Travis Scott, and then Travis Scott dropped a mixtape and an album same year.
Okay, cool. Now I need to understand.
Kanye had to take the bullets for them, bro. In the mainstream,
yeah, Kanye.
Did Chance the Rapper? Chance the Rapper did the gospel.
Wait, I want to know what the definition of stealing is.
The UK. He went to the UK, stole them.
Drake went to
London.
UK,
yeah, Drake also steals. Drake also steals.
Good artists borrow.
That's the thing with Drake. That's the thing with Drake. He owns it. Yes, like, when he comes in, he owns it.
Drake, I like both.
Drake steals and makes it
Drake is legendary, guys.
Drake
is legendary.
That's
facts.
That's facts.
Like it's on crack. Yes,
Duck.
Drake is legendary.
Oh,
like,
and he jumped
literally
yeah,
in the presence of somebody whose name is never going to die now in our time.
Yeah, he dropped the freestyle. It's insane.
Ghost. Is it safe to say that Drake is better than Tupac and Biggie?
Drake, Pop said it best. Drake is our Jimi Hendrix.
I'm asking Banjo.
Drake, no, but for real, he's like, he's at, like, when you mention the certain names, like Bob Dylan, it's like at his prime, there's nothing he could do wrong. You have Jimi Hendrix, you have the Beatles, and so, like, he's there.
Yeah.
You have even Michael Jackson, like, Drake is there. It's over 10 years he started his career, and still, right now, if he drops a project tomorrow,
yeah, no, he's neat.
Without a single music
Number
video,
one.
Every single song will creep onto the Billboard.
He's at Bruce, like, he's at Bruce Springsteen level. He's like there.
Yeah.
Like, literally, Dick. we're in the presence of a musical
level.
God in our
rap
generation
Bono.
Right now.
He's the rap man's Bono, man like Bono.
But like, literally, there's nobody bigger than Drake. Nobody.
Who's bigger than
like,
Drake?
Who's bigger than Drake?
And the thing is, you want to say, like, what?
Nah,
dog.
BTS
is bigger than Drake.
Oh my God, shout out to them Pillar. Oh, wow.
I can't deal with you.
I don't know.
K-pop lives forever.
I thought you were going to go for like Ed Sheeran.
I don't like that guy, but
I like Ed Sheeran. I like Ed Sheeran only because like I love the
You don't like his guitar playing.
Yeah, jangling, strumming.
I was like listening to Ed Sheeran when it was like 3,000 views on YouTube. back in the day, and then he dropped every single album that he dropped afterwards. I was like, you're becoming more and more boring for me, but the world is loving you more and more.
But he's a great songwriter.
He's a great
songwriter.
He's brilliant.
I'm not collaborating with now.
Who? He did a song with Travis Scott.
There it is.
Of course he was going to do a song with Travis Scott. He's a big songwriter.
So, would I rather be a douche?
Which is what's attractive about him.
Yeah, Justin Bieber. My mama don't like me. He loves hip hop.
That's what's attractive about him.
But I prefer Justin Bieber. Bieber over Sheeran.
Yeah, but Bieber buys some Sheeran.
That's fine.
Is what I'm saying. That's
fine. Yeah, but he takes it and improves it.
No. Sheeran writes for Bieber. What are you saying?
He takes it and improves it. He drinks it.
And the new Justin Bieber album, Fire.
Fire.
Why would you like Sheeran? I don't understand.
The style of guitar strumming, I don't like it. I don't like the country shit.
You should listen to his first project.
Nah, I shouldn't.
No, give it a chance. It's not what you expect.
T-Bank's not going to like it.
He knows.
He's not going to like it.
For me, you have the song that he did for Lord of the Rings, which I'm like...
West. Already, it's a song on Lord of the Rings.
Have you listened to it?
Right, there's nothing outside of Lord of the Rings I'd want to listen to. It must be in Lord of the Rings.
Fam, nah.
Take it outside of Lord of the Rings.
You know,
I'm taking away your privileges to score my movie. Wobbly's going to score my movie.
I take go book Star Wars and then go get the soundtrack and bump track 5.
Yes. Right. Yeah, that's what we do, right. Though.
Ah, bro. Ed Sheeran.
Okay.
I don't know what he did to you. Maybe you're about to get laid and your song came on and then you have a negative attachment to him. I don't know. But. Come on, bro.
Oh. I always have this thing where...
We actually, like, a lot of people mind another what? White boy that, like, there's something that's insane. What? Oh, Little Dicky!
Like,
people mind that song.
It's the guy with the Save That Money song, bro.
I see that song.
Freaky Friday.
That is my favorite song.
This is music video where it's like... talk about Bonobo.
Arthur Mist dropped a new album.
What?
Like, there's a video, something about the world.
Yeah.
Where he has, like, a bunch of artists doing vocals on it.
I saw that. Little Dicky.
Actually, we can talk about this, actually. Prophet and I just had a side conversation for ours. They want to get jazz. The people that just listen to old music.
Yeah.
There's new people that are making what they call old music.
Yeah, jazz.
For example, like, when we were at the wedding on Saturday.
Sure.
Remember when I said, I'm fucking playing Alpha Mist right now?
Sure.
For people, Abasontayo. So, like, people that don't listen
and
to
me. Nah, they vibe
jazz.
I didn't have to play fucking Kaifas or Leta. I didn't have to say, just because I love jazz. Okay,
I played Bonobo for my dad as well. Like, on the road, he's like bumping his head.
You guys are making me feel like a proud father.
there's that shit. Like, I don't know. It's not that I don't appreciate old music. It had its place. But, like...
Yo, fuck my dad
talking about Kaifas and talking about all these people, and I'm also talking about those people.
Yeah, that's the thing.
An entire generation of musical artists. It's only good
for this is why I love Abu King, the Alpha Mist, the Cinematic Orchestra. There's so many artists out there, but they're injecting
Nail.
Who's the commercial person of that genre?
None of them.
Nah,
yeah. No, but like you have, like the biggest Bonobo is massive.
Coldplay. It's Coldplay.
What's the other dragon? The other dragon.
Well, Little Dragon.
I'm thinking of, I want to say Hidden Dragon. No, it's not Hidden Dragon.
What?
Fuck. Little Dragon. That's what
yes, there it is.
Little Dragon.
But okay, me, I don't really vibe with Little Dragon.
Yeah, well, there's always a mainstream of any genre of music, bro.
Yeah, but like Bonobo is the mainstream of his genre.
I put up a smash.
You don't, but the people who genuinely listen to the music. Bonobo's big.
He ain't big until you got a Drake feature.
Nah, but then you're being ridiculous. Then very few artists are big.
Kicks. The whole grime trap movement. Kicks was pioneering that.
Wait, John Joe Drake.
Sampha, the UK soul movement. Sayyid Zuck Drake.
But you're saying every genre has got its big rock stars. Cool. I'm saying for Bonobo's genre. He's the big one.
Can we describe his music?
It's that eclectic shit, bro.
It's
electronic.
It's like Muramasa, but like different, like more like jazzy and shit.
So it's jazzy Muramasa.
Yeah,
but it's
so
actually.
Where do we put people like FKJ?
Balapo now, but it's like a box.
FKJ is no, but
FKJ could be the mainstream of Bonobo.
They're not in the same WhatsApp group because
they're
like,
not.
For me, here's what I'm mainstream. Saying: FKJ, Masego, and what's this white boy? what's his name, man? I can't remember his name, but literally there's a specific sound of lo-fi that FKJ
selection
and so on.
Sound. Yeah? It's the selection sound.
Yeah, the selection
yeah,
sound.
So it's like, it's very, like, it's, yeah. It's
so
like,
but I'm
Bonobo
telling
does
you,
not
there
do soulful music in that sense.
That's what you're talking about.
Bonobo is the most popular
no,
one
Mish.
Within that.
Yeah,
but I'm saying Tom
right
Misch
yeah.
falls within the same group as
FKJ. But he's
FKJ.
Got the, he plays guitar, he plays, his guitar playing
yes,
is super
yes, but he's
jazzy.
Still in the soulful realm. It's not electronic. It's lo-fi shit.
I put my summer headphones down. I can hear him in the headphones so that we can adhere to the legislative
to the DBs.
And yeah, shout out Capasso.
Like that's the name I was looking for, Tom Misch. Like he's literally within that lo-fi, and he's moving away from it, which is dangerous.
That's what I learned. I don't like him doing the groovy shit.
Yeah, it's like oh, you dude, like Tom Misch is on.
That's why I don't like Ed Sheeran, because Ed Sheeran is a white guy doing things where he's and if we put him with the black people in this realm of music that he's trying to do, they shit on him every time. He's the white guy that everybody. He's the token white guy in a soul singing community. That's why I don't like Adele either.
Do you like Justin Timberlake?
Timberlake's cool, but Timberlake ain't trying to be the best. Timberlake ain't trying to be. Timberlake knows. Timberlake always pushes the black person and says, "Yo, bro."
No, he doesn't.
I'm fucking with these people. Oh, Timberlake.
Timberlake's whole brand is black.
His whole brand. Okay. Yeah. No, guys, yeah. Timberlake threw us away, guys. The previous album.
Yeah, yeah.
He came out. He became
Timberlake's still hating Tennessee kids, though.
No, but he became white. Yeah, literally. You watch Timberlake. I'm sorry, black people. You know, after the whole Black Lives Matter thing, etc. Now he's realized, like, oh my shit, my numbers ain't doing so great. I'm gonna be black again. Who can I feature?
Bonobo.
You want Bonobo?
Yes.
I'll play Bonobo.
Off air and shit.
I'm going to a bathroom.
But don't tell me whenever there's a popular everybody. It's what I was going back to. It's like that's what we like it because it's underground, bro. Commercialize it, sell it. There's a popular everything for everything.
Thanks.
So why did you stop club DJing?
Because it was bad for business.
How so? I'm not letting you get away with such a shit answer.
Terrible answer.
It was how bad. Was it bad for business?
Bad for business, bro. It was bad for business. What Prof was speaking about, like the whole anti-mainstream or stuff like that.
Yeah.
The back end of the mainstream is something that I don't agree with, and a lot of the times I was getting in the way of opportunities that might be available for other people because of how I handle my business.
Being mad.
Yeah.
So I decided it's either I'm burning all these bridges or I'm finding a different way to utilize them.
Is this when you're calling up promoters on Facebook for not paying you?
And taking them to the small claims court.
Oh,
he did all of that.
Yeah, yeah, I was there too.
I ran my shit like a business, bro, and things don't run like a business in this thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is everything is
so
all about
if you want it, but the thing that's the market. The market is the market. So if you want to fuck in, if you want to fuck with that market and work in that market, you have to find out how that market works.
Yeah,
that's the only way you can find how you can work it.
And so you work it by
like know the rules.
And
of
the small
game.
Claims thing is not how you work that market. Yeah, well, because it fucks up things for you and the other people that are around you.
It's what we.
Yeah. So you got to find a way. So I left to go to make myself indispensable in a different way.
How so?
On the music side, on the
production side?
Not just production, on building like basically an end-to-end solutions where I don't need anybody outside of that.
Yeah.
And the people that they need inside of their industry need me to facilitate what they make to get in there. So even if you don't like me,
you have to deal.
One of the people that you have to fuck with has to fuck with me.
Ish. You.
So that, yeah, that's
so true.
That's the best way to do it. It's just it requires a lot more work.
You can't have half the city liking Wobbly and then hating you.
You can't.
It doesn't.
So now if I'm being a puss to everybody, and especially people that are booking people like Wobbly, it's gonna fuck up everything for everybody. Now the way so celestial Mike, if it's a book level over you might end up in court.
Yeah.
But if you know what I know, Utipeki, Uskimu up, Lutipeki, Agasa TJ.
Yeah.
I'm less of a threat.
Imagine
to anything that you're doing.
Yeah,
so what you're pushing yourself more into
rock,
the
I wouldn't even
tab role.
Yeah.
Not like agency.
No, but okay, in the sense of, so you have like, okay, cool, actors on TV shows now.
Sure.
Where, okay, you were told you're supposed to be on set for 5 hours today now.
Mm.
And you've negotiated your rate based on that, right? And all of a sudden, these people are going over the 5 hours. And they're telling you, no, we're only going to finish 4 hours later, right?
Mm.
Now, you have another shoot that you booked on. Or actually, you don't even have another shoot. You have plans to go home. And now the production is like, yo, dude, we have to push these extra 4 hours. Now, you as an actor, you're like, no, but you can speak up and potentially mess up all the relationships that you have here on set. And the production will think that you're a douchebag.
Yeah.
And they won't hire you again because you're difficult or whatnot. Mm. Or hopefully you have an agent. And you call your agent like, yo, yeah, here's the situation. You need to find a way to either negotiate more money or get me to go home.
And
the agent becomes the bad guy on your behalf.
Yeah.
So therefore, you as the actor or the main person, the skill that's being bought, don't get any of the flack for being
asshole. That's a beautiful way to put it. Because in that situation, for example, if it was in Wobbly's situation, Wobbly would be like, no, he's been playing for 3 hours. Well, he was only booked for two. And then come to me, I'm going to go shit on this person. And then Wobbly's going to say, no, I've got 30 more minutes for you. So the guy still gets what he wants. And in a weird way, when you come like that, they kind of respect how you're a hard ass because you're looking out for somebody else.
Yeah,
that's something that's very respected in the industry.
Yeah.
Like, very. If you're stage managing, there's people that you shit on as a stage manager that you can leave the role with after and go sit with them. Yeah. And they just get like, why you shit on them?
And I'm sure people haven't seen Wobbly shout at people because he can shout.
Ooh, yeah. I shat on Amufaku, I can tell you that. Yeah. I didn't even shit on her, I shat on a manager.
Yeah. Was it the white girl there? Shit. Yeah, I remember.
Because like, I'm just like, bruh, you guys are still setting up. Zex is done now. It took another 10, 15 minutes just to set up. I still got Ricky, I still got Professor. They're all waiting.
But Lady, yeah.
Dog, they're all waiting. And I was like, you know what? Actually, fuck it. Said Ricky, jump on now.
When's our mass?
Hey, when's our mass? Jump on now.
There's another guy, artist, Ricky Rick. The industry is actively trying to keep Ricky Rick away from the camera. Away from the media.
I like
away
Ricky,
from
man, overall.
Everybody likes Ricky.
Because you went to school with him and he gave you beard
advice.
Yeah, but
it doesn't matter. I like Ricky.
Prop would not have a beard if it wasn't for Ricky Rick.
Everybody likes
tell
Ricky
the truth.
Rick.
That's not, that's tell not the truth.
Listen, he uses jojoba oil and I happen to use it because.
Who told you about jojoba oil?
Prop would not have a from beard this conversation.
If it wasn't for
he's
Ricky
a cool
Rick.
Guy, okay? End of the
but
story.
Even Ricky, going back to the fundamental thing we were speaking about people. Oh, Ricky Munangimazi from a chick that used to study at AFTA when, like in her first or second year, she played me some whack ass stuff that he had at the time, but it was whack stuff that was out. And it was something that was being built.
It was
a starting point.
That's, okay, cool. Now I'm basically shifting the conversation, like whack stuff that's out versus brilliant shit that's being hogged on your memory, on your hard drive at home. So for me, being an artist is like, being brave enough to actually put your ish out there.
No. Let's stop romanticizing this
whole
thing.
Okay, cool. Let's go.
I'm afraid to put my music out.
What?
Sorry. There's no bravery in being afraid to put your music out.
There is no bravery.
No, I'm saying brave enough to put it out.
DistroKid, log in, sign up.
Yes, but here's the thing that... It's a pro. Dude, the first time you dropped the project, were you not anxious as hell?
Yeah, you get anxious. You're anxious.
Yeah.
So it took you... It's brave to put your ish out
there. It's not
brave.
It's just something you have to do.
It is brave.
It's not.
Like, otherwise,
saving a baby from a fire is brave.
Otherwise,
I had
everybody
a fire single.
Would
I
be dropping
drop
music
it.
Right now.
Something that affects your mortality is brave.
No, dude, I...
Not,
okay,
not
for me, I'm like,
a song.
Dude, like, putting... Like, music is such a vulnerable craft.
With, I get with the romanticizing.
It's not romanticizing. These are facts. Otherwise, so many artists that you've met along your
accounting
journey...
Accounting is a beautiful craft.
...already have dropped their projects.
You're just romanticizing it.
I don't believe so, though.
Music is a vocation, bro. Music is a trade.
I agree with that.
It's no different to being a cobbler, to being a carpenter, to being the juggler, to being the squire, to being the court
there is
jester.
A difference.
Going back if, to the dawn of
as
time,
a, as,
it's
a,
role
as a plumber,
you
if you
society.
Do a bad job, it's only one household that's judging you.
If you're doing as a primer and you fuck with the king's thing, it's off with your head.
But you know what I'm talking about.
But if you're renowned
today,
at the time, you were called
right
to the
now,
king.
If you're an electrician,
that was the litmus test.
If you were an electrician, and you fuck up at your job, You've only fucked up for one household or for whatever client has hired you. Yeah. As a musician, you drop a shit project. It's like, it feels like the whole world is watching it.
You've just diminished the as an electrician.
It's a lot braver.
As an electrician, if I give you a whack job, I'm burning your entire family down.
No,
I am, because that happens, and you know that happens in the black community.
I want to speak about
black
in terms of where they started, in terms of the importance of actually dropping and releasing your music.
But like, that's the thing, it's going back to the romanticizing aspect of it. Like, is your one fire single that means a lot to you not just a drop in the fucking ocean?
So
that you're treating like an entire lake,
which it is
To you, but and everybody else has a lake. We all got lakes.
Yeah.
So, like, get your lake out
please.
There.
Yeah, elaborate on your point.
Hold that. The biggest, like, it's like I get where you're coming from, and why I'm saying this is because it's a realization I had. I've been making music since 2005. Like, I've been on stages since 2005. I dropped my first project as T-Bag in 2012.
T-Bag in this motherfucker.
I had a street smash back in my days, you know, fucking around. But after I dropped my first project, I realized that this shit is meaningless. Like, all the worry and stuff like that, it was just holding me back.
Like a degree.
So whenever somebody gets onto that topic, I have to not encourage the fact that it's a life and death situation with this thing. You need to have your music out there. If it's whack, it has to be whack now.
Then let I'm agreeing with you, though.
Let people tell you that it's whack. But now, it's how you present it to yourself. It matters a lot. Now, when you romanticize, like, yeah, you know,
so
people don't really get
so what triggers your... No. So for me, the use of the word bravery is what triggers
it
you.
It triggers that. It's the...
Being
it's
I, the, prof, I...
How it can't be done by somebody else.
Okay, cool.
Because they are anything.
Then, okay, what word should I use in the place then?
What?
It's like you're saying
decisiveness.
You took the first step.
Not bravery, no? The decisiveness.
Okay, the decisiveness is to actually take the first step.
Yeah.
But the thing,
it was a decision. It was a decision you weren't making.
They used to actually like make a lot of music and not drop it. And I was like, hey man, drop this thing.
Everybody
man.
Was like, drop music. Yeah. And I did it. And it was.
Okay, cool.
Was
so my thing is that. Outside of the use of the language, we're saying the same thing.
But language is important because it's what you tell yourself.
Yeah, but for me, I'm like, after you took your first step of bravery from my perspective, afterwards.
Bravery.
Yeah, but no, as much as that triggers you, right? I'm saying from my perspective.
Okay,
after you took your first step of bravery, afterwards, every single other step became easier because you realized you weren't carrying the entire world on your shoulders.
But
the word triggers you.
No. It's not about the word anymore. It's not the only aspect of it, because there are a lot of artists that feel the way that you're talking about after every release. And for me, it was a realization. However, you get to the realization that your
you
stuff
need
needs to
drop
be up
stuff.
There. Yeah, well, what's in your head, people don't get, and you don't really own, or they don't really owe you the time for you to explain it.
You know what if he told you, brave T-Bag?
I'm brave. I can be brave for other things, not for releasing a project.
I guess Wobby, you had to be brave to release one or two songs.
I've never dropped a shit song.
Yeah, that's
not
thing.
The argument.
It's really.
Well, I don't need to be
you've
brave.
You dropped a shit video though that has 70,000
views.
80,000.
80,000.
85,000.
Are you refreshing?
85,000 views.
No, that's good.
They even used like a part of the thing for the Channel O pop bottles.
What?
Adverts.
And what did I say when you were pissed off while we were shooting that video? What did I keep telling you?
What?
Which we need to have something out, even if it's shit, it must be out.
Yeah, and we and
that
I leaked it.
Is what I wanted to echo.
It must be out.
Yeah,
yes.
No.
Like it's better to have like by the time I found Drake, nah. And he hadn't even dropped the Baby, You the Best song, right? No, he's not even his first album's out. He had 200 songs that my friend bought on a hard drive.
Sure.
And I'm like, who the hell's working this hard?
Sure.
200 fucking songs.
Lil B was working that hard.
And it was like, it was more important
YouTube videos.
To actually have...
Yeah, Lil B was the bass guard. He started the whole thing. Drake stole a bit from him too.
I bested by Jay.
Everybody steals from everybody, but Drake stole a lot from everybody.
You gotta but
then
Jay-Z
stole from Nas, and then goes on
stole from everybody,
and then goes on to destroy Nas and helps him out afterwards.
Yeah, I know.
Success, what a feeling. Success, it sucks too much stress.
Like, no, he would make. He was probably he's a hardcore businessman, bro. Like, I'm about to forget that on the music side. The music part is cool, bro, but the business side is the business side, Dougie. And if
and that was my only fear, to be honest.
The business side?
It was the business side. I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, but it be
but I just had the music, so I was like, hey, man, let's drop.
Yeah.
Let's just drop. I just wanted to get the music out, to be honest.
It just has to come in and come out with the machine working.
No, but I feel you, though. Like, what, there's a point in time where I was like, homie, I've been working on music since.
And I was also telling you 10. To drop shit.
And it's like, I'm like, so many songs have died on my hard drive.
That's the thing. And don't I'm let like, them die.
Yes. And I'm like, I'm done with this. It's like, if it wants to die, it must die.
It's cool.
Like, it's fine.
What you've been playing so long, like, you've been worrying about what you're going to drop for so long that you've been working on, like, your product. That when you drop something, its level of whackness is at a different level to other people. So this like, because if you're gonna get better from a standpoint, you always have to be. You're always gonna start whacker than you were, because if you're constantly growing, if you're not looking back and saying, if you still think the shit that you made 10 years ago is fire,
I think some of the shit I made last year is terrible.
Yeah, you're stuck in the same place. Or you need to get off them perky pills.
But that's a lot of problem with, especially now, like the last. I see there's a new phase of rappers, you Travis Scott and stuff. The last phase of rappers that I saw failed to evolve from their peak sound. Okay, fine, you the dopest lyricist, but we don't care about lyrics anymore.
Nas.
Yeah.
Now you need to add a melody to your
lyrics.
But
Nas is one of them. Nas. Can I take this to say what T-Bag probably
and
doesn't want to hear? This is why I respect Kanye.
But he stole. That's what we say.
He evolves.
Steal.
Other people
sure,
stealing better than
influenced
Kanye,
the heck by other people.
What?
Kanye.
Kanye, he evolved.
Hard. Like, there's no two albums that sound the same.
Oh, Kanye was at Joel Osteen's church.
College Dropout and Late Registration sound the same.
Yeah, those are the closest to.
That's what everybody, whenever everybody goes out about those two albums sound the same.
Yeah, but okay, cool. I will take that then.
But Late Registration is better.
I don't like Late Registration. It sounded like the old songs that didn't make it to College Dropout.
Nah. Late Registration
and
is better.
And then a couple of new
ones. Penimek.
Yeah.
Too like. Yeah, bro.
But I didn't like Kanye for a long time, though. Until, like, his third album came out. And, like, literally, I did not like Kanye until Graduation. Graduation, I was like, I'm like, God damn. I'm like, wow, this is a work of art. I will give you a chance. And I'm like,
Flashy Lights.
No, dude, he had, like, songs for me. He didn't have, like, a whole complete project that made cohesive sense. Graduation, for me, I was like...
Runaway was My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
That project
was fire. That
was
an experimental
That was
project.
The worst one.
Yeah.
Because Kanye's like, I wanted to give the world the album that they actually wanted.
He was having fun with that shit.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I love Yeezus.
He was trying to steal again.
Yeah, he was trying to.
Yeezus got some dope.
Stealing
stuff.
Or not. I love the craziness that is Yeezus. Like, the songs on them, I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, you get Boniva, and then you get Chief Keef. Who's actually getting,
and I think that's how the people were selling it to me. All the Yeezy fanatics were like, it's so new. It's just genius. It was like, I'm like, no, this is not new.
Nah, I told you this.
It was old.
Yeezy had to drop Yeezus for Travis Scott to go mainstream.
No.
Yes.
No.
Here's the thing. Travis Scott.
I'm the sounds that
everybody
he,
has to take days. Bullets. Like the first rapper.
You guys understand that Travis Scott dropped Days Before the Rodeo and then Rodeo.
I know.
In the same year.
I'm saying that normal ears were not ready for Travis Scott before
Yeezus. Let me put it to you like this. Yeah. You see, by the time Yeezus came out, the Travis Scott train did not care about Kanye West.
I'll give you that.
But nobody cared about Kanye West that was buying Travis Scott tickets.
It's like Selena Gomez would not exist without Rihanna. In terms of the kind of sound that she's doing.
Rihanna's single.
Yeah, but that's the point. The thing is that it's like Rihanna.
She's a Disney
bitch. I hear what you say, but what I'm saying is that there's certain albums that play a part in terms of training people how to hear a certain type of music.
But it's not Yeezus.
Yeezus did play a role in hearing.
Not for Travis Scott.
Certain
it did.
I'm not gonna say
for the mainstream it did. Because the same thing with
the one before that.
What was the singing?
It did nothing for the Travis Scott movement.
The 808s and Heartbreak.
Yeah, 808s and Heartbreak paved the way for singing rappers.
808s and Heartbreak.
Cuddy.
It opened Cuddy. The way.
Yeah.
Your ears were not ready for Kid Cudi as he was.
Cuddy.
I'm telling you, it's the same thing.
But no, do you know it's not the same thing? Do you know what Cuddy couldn't do?
Yeah.
After, do you know what Cuddy did after his song, his music was stolen?
Yeah.
He went to the public, to the people that he thought cared, and said, look, guys, he's stealing my music. He's stealing my sound. And then he didn't make music. And then Kanye West solidified. And in the midst of him being the person that made that sound, there was no noise around that.
And then radio changed.
And then, yeah. But what he failed to do was drop a mixtape and an album.
Uba, Ukadi.
Ukadi.
Same thing. In the same year. Nikki.
When the mixtape gets bigger.
Yeah, because he dropped days before the radio because the label was slowing him down.
Because of Kanye West. The label was slowing him down because they're like say, no, this dude is doing that, and it's kind of influenced by it. Okay, sure. Mixtape. Cut it. He didn't go crying.
Because there's people like, Openi only jumped on Travis Scott, not Birds.
No.
Was it Birds?
Yeah, Birds.
Yeah, that was Travis Scott's first mainstream.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's when they only jumped on
him. Yeah.
Tina Sims Mazi from
Al Faro.
Faithful from like
from up.
Yeah, like you know how you know Muzi right now, but yeah.
How you know Bonobo.
No, Bonobo's never gonna blow up in mainstream sense.
But everybody thought Travis Scott was never gonna blow up.
Tina, we felt it.
Even who's this guy now? Stormzy.
Oh no, Stormzy. Stormzy is kind of like reflective of
The audacity.
No, but here's the thing. It's like people are so tired of this. Like hip hop has been boring for a while now. Like it's been so predictable. Like we know, like nobody's come out with something as extreme to be like, oh, wow, this is so refreshing. And Stormzy. What?
That is ridiculous.
No.
People cover like that all the time.
With hip-hop.
Hip-hop.
Nah, bruh.
Hip-hop.
Then you have
to give me a couple of artists to put in my playlist, bro.
I have to.
Yeah. Because like, for me, I'm searching for artists. I'm like, nah, bro, this sounds like this. This sounds like that.
And then people get stuck. Yeah. No, this is the sound. It's the only sound.
There's some people, you know what the nice thing is right now with hip-hop?
Stormzy's refreshing.
Stormzy is nice. But even in like the mainstream that people like just I don't know why people don't like the mainstream. Because okay, cool. There's You're Already Rich, there's A Boogie with the Hoodie, there's a Lil TJ, there's
It was Pop.
The kid that did the song Ransom, Lil Tecca. Mm. These are all people that are of a specific genre of music.
Yeah.
A new genre of hip hop, yeah, but everybody treats it like it's one song. But if you look back, when you go back to into our times, there was a Nickelback and a Creed sounding exactly the same.
Yeah.
Exactly the same. Yeah, bro.
But for me, I'm like, there hasn't bands been... Like
that. I still say today, the Foo Fighters and the Red Hot Chili Peppers sound the same.
Can't stop.
It's no, they
the
don't.
Same, but the other ones were a little bit darker.
They do not. Maybe find a different one.
I'm saying to a person like me that is not that.
But they don't. Red Hot Chili Peppers are jazz fucking artists, bro.
I mean, all the rap sounds the same to your mom.
Exactly. Because she doesn't care to listen
okay,
to
cool.
them.
Okay, cool. But the thing is that, okay, cool. Foo Fighters all the way to.
Even the Blink-182 era. The Westlife era. There's always an era.
Yeah, but I'm saying right now, it's like we have a specific era. For me, I'm like, it feels like there's a specific era that's been going on for a long time.
And that's dope.
It is dope, but also for me, I'm like, it's getting boring. People, we need something new.
That's even better.
Hence Stormzy coming up and becoming like.
But Stormzy is nothing new.
Yeah?
It's nothing new.
It's not new, but it's just new on the train.
New on the train. It's like we've forgotten it now.
Like Storms, like it's just the timing is perfect for him.
Yeah.
Because like this could have been all the other British rappers.
This could have been gigs. I'm disappointed.
I must imagine.
But the timing was not perfect.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
Okay, about three. What do you think the hip hop, the South African hip hop scene needs, like is missing right now?
My excuse, dropping 6 March, featuring Celestial Mike, Dand. Loki.
Can I get permission from the publishers to play this song at the end of this podcast?
Of course you can.
Oh, wow. Look at that. YouTube, don't sue me.
Ownership. That's what you do when you own your music.
Yeah, I'm going to tell YouTube to listen. Yo,
like
listen
letter. To the podcast. We've got a letterhead. We'll send a letter.
We'll send a letterhead. Black House Talk. This is the end of the podcast. We've gone way over time. You can catch us on radiodr.co.za, Deeply Rooted DBN, everywhere. DJ Wobbly, where can we find you?
Wobbly_RSA, everywhere.
T-Bag, where can we find you?
Facebook is one day left. Vulindlela, T-Bag, and get
Vulindlela. 6 months.
You might have to spell all of it.
6 months. We're also dropping Prof's EP. What is it called, Prof?
The Healing.
Oh, we have the same drop date?
Yeah.
Same drop date. More music.
On the 6th?
Yeah.
I can't compete with you, bro.
Probably doesn't know, but there's something dropping on the 13th as well.
Yo, can we work on a song together?
Sorry?
Can we work on one song together?
Nigga, well, you've been coming to the studio, but you don't, like, you know?
No, but I've been coming with the selfish agenda of finishing up the healing.
The healing. Now the healing is done. He's so used us
like,
enough.
Now it's like...
The healing is done.
Don't look at me like that. Come on, bro.
As long as you're not strumming like Ed Sheeran music.
Oh, wow.
Nah, did you already know my strumming?
Yeah, I don't know. You got them. Man got licks.
Beautiful bird. Also out on digital platforms. Yeah, check it out.
Black House Talk.
Yes, no, wait. We got to do the rundown. Okay, sure. It's Wobbly. We got to do this rundown.
Yeah.
It's, okay, cool. Get iTrue out there on all digital platforms. T-Bag CC featuring Uskindi.
Issue.
Deandre.
Yeah.
Both Celestial Mike.
Mm. Yeah.
Available everywhere.
Everywhere.
And then on March 6th, get that DJ Wobbly, you know, featuring Uskindi.
Deandre,
featuring Loki, featuring Celestial Mike, produced by Audio Sims.
Fire music. Audio.
Fire music. Out there, get that Lungelo Manzi. Sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Get that Chemistry 2, Yashna, Neon Dao. We're out there putting in this work. We're putting the Durban hip hop, the Durban urban music industry on our back.
Shout out.
It's our year.
It is 2020.
China.
Yeah. The Healing, Radio DR. Cilo. Cilo.
Catch Lyrical Command and Reverb Nation. Fellow passes out there doing them numbers.
Black House Talk. Thank you for listening.
Yo, what's your boy, Rob? Are you listening to Radio DR. Cosa? Easy.